Bible to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus 14 and verse 1. Third book in your Bible, Leviticus chapter 14 and the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. I want you to underline those words. The day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open sea. Now, we've been taking up a number of studies on the precious blood of Christ. I think we have been continuing since the first of the year. And today we have cleansing through the blood. For 3 Sundays we were speaking upon the great day of atonement, that unusual day, that day that every Israelite looked forward to, the great day of atonement, the outstanding day in the history of that nation. We haven't taken up yet the day of consecration. You have the great day of atonement, but you also have the day of consecration. That was an unusual ceremony in Israel, when the lamb was slain, after they had been cleansed by blood, they took, or the priest did, and when I refer to the priests, I'm not referring to those today who are called priests, I'm referring to the old Jewish priest. He used to dip his finger in the blood of the animal and touch the tip of the right ear and the thumb of the right hand and the big toe of the right foot of the Israelite who came for cleansing. This was the day of his consecration. His sins had been forgiven, but that's one day. There's a step first. God wanted that man to know that he had been redeemed. As to what he heard, as to what he did, as to where he went. Thus, the blood was touched upon his ear and his thumb and his right foot, or the toe of his right foot. That was the day when he consecrated himself unto the Lord. One of the biggest tragedies of the present day, and I would say the hope and the failure of the church, is a lot of people have been saved by the grace of God through the blood of Christ, but they haven't yet realize what it is to consecrate themselves unto the Lord. That is, they're not living for Christ the way they should. And the New Testament says, you are not your own, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spiritual journey. There is the blood upon the tip of the ear. It's wonderful when you see a Christian who has an ear for the voice of God. He has an ear for this blessed book, the shepherd's voice. When you see a person who professes to be Christian and will sooner listen to anything else, they will sooner listen to a lot of crash that they get over the TV and radio, rather than spend a little time tuning their ears to the voice of the good shepherd as seen in this blessed book, something's gone wrong. Then the thumb touched with blood the thumb of the right hand. That speaks of what you do. When you see those who claim to be Christians doing certain things that are inconsistent with the Christian life, it puts a question mark in your mind. Is that person saved or is that person not? There could be errors. And I think the greatest stumbling block to people getting saved today is the failure of those who profess to be Christians. If I had it said to me once in my life, in 35 years ministry, I have heard it 1,000 times, speaking to people about why they don't go to church. Well, preacher, there are just too many hypocrites in the church. So-and-so professes to be a Christian, and look what he does. Why, I wouldn't do it. It is strange that they don't refer to hypocrites in the business life. There are lots of hypocrites in the business world. Men who don't live up to their word. They use trickery in business. There are hypocrites in almost everything. You can find some in the real estate business. You can find some in the medical profession. But isn't it strange how people are so ready to pick out a hypocrite in religion? Well, I really believe you're right. But if a man's a Christian, he needs to let others see and not bring dishonor and disgrace upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be a stumbling block to others. In getting saved, I think, is a serious and sad and tragic sin. For a Christian to be a stumbling block if someone else comes to the faith, just because what he's done and what he's willing to listen to. Then he goes, his blood on the toe. His walk is not consistent. To me, that's tragic. And something you should call for exercise on the part of every Christian. Our lives should be in keeping with our profession. Otherwise, we're going to be stumbling stones to poor sinners and dead to stepping stones to Christ. Are you a stumbling stone to some poor sinner? He goes to you and says, well, if you're a Christian, I am, although I make no profession. Or are you a stepping stone to that person in his quest for Christ, in seeking after salvation? God wants us to be stepping stones. Now into our text, in these two chapters, the day of his cleansing. This day was looked forward to on the part of this man and certainly reflected upon with great joy. In these chapters, if you wish to read them at your leisure, you have leprosy disclosed. Then you have leprosy dissected, diagnosed, if you will. And then you have leprosy done away with. And the strange thing is, in these two chapters, you'll find leprosy in the individual, in a man, in a woman. You'll find leprosy in a garment. And you'll find leprosy in a house. Now, what does this mean? Leprosy in the individual is quite easy to explain because it refers to the sinner. And leprosy is one of those diseases that God selects to illustrate sin. I don't know a disease that has affected the human anatomy that illustrates sin like leprosy. And God uses it as an illustration of sin. Sin in the individual, there's the individual sinner, how sin has affected him. Then sin in the garment, you read that in chapter 13. The warp from the roof of the garment has to be investigated, see if there's any leprosy in it. There's the conduct. Your garment is how you appear before your fellow men. And there again you find leprosy and it's seen in the garment or the conduct of those who claim to be Christians. But then there's leprosy in the house. Now what does the house speak of? It speaks of the church life. The church or the assembly. And if you read the incident in chapter 14, you'll find that when leprosy was discovered in a house that were on the plaster, they had to scrape all the plaster off the wall, and it had to be investigated. If it hadn't gone any deeper than just the plaster, it could be replastered and relived it. If some of the foundation stones had a affecting leprosy, why, the stones should be removed. But after three or four tries, and the leprosy returned, and it was discovered to be what God said, a spreading leprosy, God says, tear the house down. It's no good. And I can't visit that house. Destroy it. You know to me that it's very solid. And I confess to you, I didn't see the importance of it until one day this week while thinking on this subject. What does this mean? It's sad to see leprosy in an individual, and also leprosy in the life of one who possesses, that is, sin, I'm referring to. But in connection with the church, here you have a remarkable scriptural illustration. Now, no church is perfect. God forbid that I should say the Albany Gospel Chapel is perfect. But I will say this, the pious God enables us to go according to this blessed book and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. All our ministry is focused to glorify Jesus Christ and to live clean lives unto His name. And so a house has a little sign of leprosy. Every church has some. And that can be corrected. But the house got to the point where it couldn't be corrected. The trouble got too deep and widespread that God said, dispose of it. I'm serious. It's a sad thing when sin so works in a church that God says, I can no longer associate myself with it. It's a threatening leprosy. Meaning something that's constantly breaking up. They found it in the plaster, and they replastered it after they scraped off the old plaster, only to find it broken out again. You read it yourself in chapter 4. And where is that constant breaking out of sin, and trouble and division of strife, in a church? It's a threatening condition. It can't be he. God says, I can't associate myself with it. If it can't be corrected and remedied by the word of God, then I'm free. So I confess to you, I'm sad today. The many churches that once were a power for God and a lighthouse, today they're as dead and as silent as a cemetery, save for the rattling of the bones of conviction. I'm troubling, fretting leper. In connection with this leper, he felt his need, and he wanted to preach. Somehow he wanted to get back to his family because he was separated from them. And you'll find in this case that it's only a need that drives a man to seek after the Lord. That's true physically. You don't go to a doctor unless you feel a need of going to the doctor. Oh, some people go annually to get an examination. And on one of those occasions when they went just casually and elicited an examination, they didn't feel any wrong, but they discovered something was. And you know, some people go to church like that. Well, just go every Sunday. It's a thing to do, it's a respectable thing to do, just for a little weekly checkup. Till some Sunday, the Lord, by His Word and Spirit, discovers to that individual there's something wrong with you. You're not the Christian you thought you were, if you're a Christian at all. And the Word of God takes the x-ray. And the laboratory of divine truth reveals you've got something wrong with you. You're not born again. You've been just a casual church for. But now you discover there's something wrong. You've never been born again. And washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful discovery to make. Better make it in time than in eternity when it's too late. Then again, others, they come to church because they feel a need. You don't go to the pantry and eat if you're not hungry. You don't go to the faucet and get a drink of water if you're not thirsty. You don't want to go to bed unless you're tired. You don't go to the doctor unless you're conscious you're sick. Unless, as I've already said, for a yearly checkup. When a person discovers something's gone wrong, I need to go to the doctor. Let me tell you, no one is coming to seek Jesus Christ unless he knows and feels his need. Lord, I'm sinful. I want to live for Jesus. I want to be saved. Lord, I'm hungry. I've tried the world and it doesn't satisfy. I want salvation. I want that bread from heaven. Lord, I've tried all the world's systems. They've dried up on me. I've only the empty river bed to reflect upon in my life. I want something that will replace my spiritual thirst. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I'm the living water. For everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water, he that hath no money. Come ye, buy wine and money, wine and water without money and without Christ. So we find those who feel a need are ready to come to Christ. And that's the reason we teach that we do then, that you might discover your need. You're not going to come to Christ until you discover it. A lot of people don't think they need salvation until they come to Christ. God wants you to consider this now. Why, I think it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, a born-again Christian, when you're healthy. But I'll tell you, it's awfully important when you're a Christian, when you're facing death. That's when true Christianity really pays off, when you're up against the sin of terror, and the terror of sin is death.
Face to face with eternity, there's no foolishness now. You've got to have the real thing.
Take off then, O Christ. Are you really speaking from this morning, Mary? You know this leprosy is an old disease. It tells you that in verse 11 of chapter 13, an old leprosy. And the subject we're speaking on this morning, sin, is an old disease. Started away back there in the garden, an old disease. Another thing, it's a loathsome disease. My, how loathsome leprosy. I've heard missionaries tell of only being able to speak to lepers when they had a building down by the ocean, where there was a strong wind going in off the ocean. And no functioning building, and no back to the building. They had a roof, they had signs. And they had to stand with their back to the water and speak to those lepers so the wind would blow the odor in the other direction. They couldn't stand before them otherwise. The odor was so horrific. They couldn't stand. The odor would make them sick. Leprosy is a load. Not any more loathsome than sin. And think of the loathsomeness of sin and the awful odor of sin that's flowing right in the very face of God today from this wicked, corrupt world.
Think of what God has to smell from this corrupt world, the sin
in the world today. Maybe your life contributing to that awful odor that's going up to heaven. Yes, sin is a loathsome thing. Sin is stupid. All you've got to do is go through operations and ask if they've had four or five operations. See, some human bodies in the filth of physical decay. That's only a picture of what sin is. Is because sin has to be there. Not only do we find sin filthy as to the body, it's more filthy as to the soul. ascend to the mystery. I tried on two of the occasions to have people who have gone to the depth. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I turned away with utter destruction. It seems they were strictly absolutely vile, healthy, old, how loathsome leprosy was, and how loathsome sin is in the nostril of Almighty God. Unclean, we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You don't realize how God looks at this. If you realize His holiness, you will. That the God sin is awfully low. You hope to turn away as many things. Do you thought the low in your troubles? Relative to the Father, you turn with the same loathing from sin? Or do you court sin? Are you attracted to it, or do you turn the dust and loathing away? Because God looks upon it with a loathing attitude. Then sin fights and faith, just like leprosy. Leprosy first. That's why they have leper problems. A leper is immediately isolated, because leprosy is dreadfully contagious. Sin is very contagious. Why are some of you not saved this morning? Why are some of you not Christian this morning? Because you are in a shop or an office. Your companions are not saved. Yes? And that bad company is keeping you from the faith. Sin is contagious. Your unconverted companions, and the places you like to preach have a contagious effect upon you. They affect you, that's why you're not converted. Oh, how contagious it is, and how it spreads. That's why parents are wise. Watch where their children go and with whom their children play and company, because sin is contagious. Many a boy and young girl has gotten to bad company, just like a good apple in the barrel of famine. It hasn't been lost. Even though that young brother, a young girl and boy, have become affected by sin, it's both loathsome form. Sin is contagious, just like leprosy was. But I'm glad to say that salvation is contagious too. I've known people to get saved, and other people saw how happy this person was when he found Christ. Why, he's got something I don't have. He's got something I don't have. And I want it. Real salvation is contagious. That's the real function of the church. To have a church that preaches Christ. To have a church whose members love the Word of God. And speak of the Lord Jesus, not all the time speaking about our church, our church, our church, but speaking about Jesus Christ. What He means to them. And when such people speak, that church has a contagious effect. People are affected. They want to know something about this Christ. They want to know something about God's Word. Other things, leprosy was incurable, humanly speaking. The Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spot? No. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. The leopard can't change his spot, and he can't change your fallen nature. You're a leper at heart. You can't change. Only God. That's the sad thing about it. Leprosy, like sin, humanly speaking, is absolutely incurable. In many cases, it was fatal. There was no cleansing with that death. And sin is fatal. So the soul that says it will die, what that soul finds. Another thing about leprosy, it separated. God says in chapter 13 and 46 of the letter to the outside the camp,
outside the camp shall his habitation be.
My, you know, it must have been a sad day when the father and home had been a happy family gathering prior to this. Has a lovely wife and lovely children. He had a good job. Everything's fine. And while he's working that day, he rolls up his sleeve and he sees God. His face turns kind of dark. Down there. He tries to shake him off. Stop looking at it, he pulls his sleeve down again. But back in his mind, he has seen something he can't forget. It looks like nothing. He goes home, he says nothing to his wife. Finally, he says, I'm going over to see the old dude. And he goes. And he says, I want to see. Please look at it. What does that mean? That means he's got to say goodbye to his wife, his home, outside the camp. Does God tell his habitation? Leprosy separates from love.
Leprosy breaks from a home.
And so does faith.
Sin walks rudely and roughly in the many of us. Husband and wife are getting on wonderful. They have a lovely family. Until one day, one of them detects something. A little cooling off.
Leprosy. Leprosy comes out. You get on feet and a part of the wife for the husband. And they separate. Adulterer, follow. Who is the sin of leprosy that walks unsought, rudely and roughly and cruelly into a hole? Now there are those arguments that follow. And who are listening? Little boys and girls are listening. They have their thinking distorted and their character warped for the rest of their lives. Because mother and daddy are going to separate. They're no longer happy. It's in the leprosy that separate loved ones and break up a family.
Sin of adultery!
Not to mention what the sin of drunkenness also is. All these sins, just like leprosy, so sin. Break up a home, a lovely home. Break up a family and bring separation between loved ones. If that's sad, and it is sad, the state of the separation is separation from God. It's sad for a wife to be separated from her husband, and her husband separated from his wife. Still, he separated from her church. Is the greatest of all separation. Sin separates from God. The Bible tells you that Isaiah says, your sins have separated between you and your God. And the tragic thing is, with the name, that separation becomes eternal. It becomes eternal. Because, friend, that in your case it won't. You come to Christ like this man in the day of his cleansing. Get your sin put away. That separation, as far as God's concerned, will not be eternal. Those sins, that for those sins, that awful deceit, that breaker of hearts and hopes and pains and pain. That breaker of hearts and hopes and homes and pets. is a disease incurred among the orange trees. They call it root disease. You see it later on in the leaves and then the heart. Oh, that root principle, sin, working in the heart. Almost every person when we've got to be on our guard again. So these days, leprosy in the head, leprosy in the heart, leprosy of the body. The mind speaks of thinking, the heart speaks of affection, and your body speaks of your walking day. How sad it is when sin affects a man's intelligence.
Sin affects his thinking, he can't think.
Sad when sin affects his heart, and his affections are all amiss, there's no love for God. Sin affects his life, his body. He's not living for God, and none of his talents and none of his members are used for the glory of God. Oh, sin. How horrible is this? Then the trouble with leprosy is deeper than the skin. God tells you that. If the trouble be deeper than the skin, it is. Because sometimes it is just a surface situation, just a skin look. They could keep that pretty well. But then they couldn't see. And the trouble kept reoccurring. And they couldn't see. It reappeared. Then says God, the trouble deeper than the skin. It's down deep. It's not skin trouble, it's not surface trouble. I want to tell you, friend, the reason people are lost today, the trouble's deeper than the skin. Walking down the aisle, shaking the preacher's hand, joining the church, even being baptized often can just be seeking the skin. Trouble deeper than that. It's deeper than that. I couldn't tell you how many thousand people have been to Albany Gospel Chapel since we've been there. Those little cards of some nuclear life, I have sat there. I've known some Sundays when we've had as many as 25. You count that up over 7, 8 years. There are none of them here that have sat there. Thousands of people. Some have come once. Some have come twice. Some have come 8 or 9 times. And in fact, they've left with years running down this street. Ah, yes, the trouble was deeper than the skin they began to see it too. They began to realize that it was more than just walking the aisle and shaking the preacher's hand and going through the formality of joining a church. It's the things of life you're aiming at. The majority of people that get saved here are, have been church members. We could have packed this place out long ago if we just invited people to come and join, just to join a church, just to have their letter. Friend, it's deeper than that. There are too many people today in Christendom who got church letters and members of their church, and their lives are an absolute disgrace. It's the answer.
Salvation's deeper than that.
It's deeper than the skin. Salvation, real the salvation, reaches the heart.
It affects the heart. It changes the affections.
And the person should love Jesus Christ and to the lips. Oh, there's the purpose.
Hell,
line of things today. Skin. Oh, yeah, you can remedy that line. Just joining the church. By getting baptized, even being active in the church of your life, friend is deeper than that. Unless you're born again and washed in the blood of Christ, you'll never enter heaven. The heart has got to be affected. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible teaches. It's deeper than the skin. Another thing about leprosy, it levels all the symptoms. Not it making a difference whether it was a king on the throne, if he had a leprous hand. That poor old beggar down there in the ditch, he's got leprosy. They're both lepers. Now there may be degrees of leprosy. One man may just have a tiny spot On her finger, another lady may have just a spot on her breast. Another person and his party had eaten up with it. From head to foot, he's just open sores of leopards. Certainly, there are differences in degree, but they're both lepers just the same. Friends, you may just have committed one sin before God. Of course, it's not more than that. But you may have just committed one sin. Here's a person who doesn't do anything else but sin. He's committed everything in the book. They're both sinners. This one who's committed one and this one's committed a million, they're both going to the same hell unless they're born. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says God. Says the word of God. Degrees of sin, certainly. That's why religious people need to be saved just like the beggars and the harlots and the drunks. The Lord Jesus Christ saw this put out when he said, speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious rulers of his day, those who knew the law and were constantly living in the synagogue, he says, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven before you. What a scathing, devastating remark. You men who give yourselves to religion, you're studying it all the time, you frequent the synagogue, you're engaged in all the temple activities, and there are publicans and sinners who are going to be in heaven and you're going to be in hell. You're trusting your good life and all your religious activities. These poor sinners didn't have a good life to trust. All they could do was trust Christ. All they could do was trust the Savior. That's what they did. That's what they did. That's what takes you to heaven, though. Trusting Jesus Christ, it's only His blood that can wash from all sin. So it levels all distinctions. Leprosy with no respecter of persons, neither is sin. Leprosy was exposed to the eye and wrath of God, as in verse 45 and verse 13. You know when a man discovered he was a leper, what he had to do? He had to put a covering on his upper lip. And he had to go outside the camp, and whenever he saw anybody approaching to him, he'd lift up his voice saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. How humiliating. No one could come near him. He'd just cry out, unclean, unclean. But what was the covering on the upper lip for? Nothing went up to God. And God saw, there's nothing for God if you're a poor leper without Christ. Friend, God sees your condition. God knows your condition. God pronounces judgment upon lepers. Outside the camp, they can have no part in my tabernacle or temple worship. How sad, how tragic. But oh, how wonderful, after all this that we've been talking about, the dark side of it, there's a bright side of it. That's why I ask you to underline those words. In the day of his cleansing, here's a man in mind. And the amazing thing is, we have time to drink it with this. When he became white all over, no part red, no part blue, no yellow hairs, indicative of leprosy. When he became white all over, God said he should pronounce him clean. Well, I studied over that for quite a while, wondering just what does this mean? How could this be? And I discovered the thought I'd leave hidden behind. The leprosy had come out. Before it was in, now it has worked its way out. And it was all out, on the surface, in the open. God says, all right, that man can be pronounced clean after the blood is given. You know, the reason a lot of people are not saved because there's something hidden in their heart. There's sin there that they're not willing to come clean with. They're not willing to bring out to the surface. They're not willing to confess. Now, you don't have to come up the front or tell me even as an individual your life on the hidden sin that's in your life. That's between you and God, but God sees it all. But there's one thing before God saves you, because He's got to save you, you've got to come clean. There's no hiding sin you've got to come out with. It's all got to come up to the surface. It's got to come out in the open before God, or God won't save you. And that's when the poor leper could be cut. When everything changed the surface. But when you're willing to come out and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, a lost sinner, a helpless sinner, I sin before thee and I sin before others they don't know about. But I'm going to confess it before thee, Lord. That's when God is saved. This poor leper was dropped in the priest. Or the priest, Father, went out to thee where the leper was. The leper couldn't go in where the priest was inside the camp of Israel. The priest had to go out where the leper was, out of the leper colony. And poor sinners couldn't go to heaven, friends, so the Lord Jesus came to earth. Our sin prevented us from going to heaven. But Jesus Christ came from heaven down to earth to this awful leper colony. And he's waiting for poor sinners to say, Lord, here I am, a poor, lost, helpless sinner. Oh, the separations in my life. Oh, the sores in my life, Lord, can you hear? Yes, I can hear it. The priest went out not to tell the leper how to live, not just to look upon his sores and sympathize with him. The priest went out to shed blood. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not to show us how to live, not to sympathize with us, but to shed blood, and that is his own. In this case, it was the blood of a little bird that was thrown. In this case, it was his own blood. If your story is too good, two birds were caught. One was slain. The priest took that little bird, and he put his knuckles over the head, and he yanked the head off, and he let the blood drip. And then he took the live bird, and he dipped the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain. He let it go. And then he turned and he took his finger and he sprinkled blood 7 times from the leper and pronounced him clean. All this is so beautiful. What do the two birds suggest? The slain bird suggests the death of Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross. And the released living bird with the mark of blood upon its feathers. The blood of the slain bird along the wings and the feathers of the living bird that was released and went back to the heavens. That's Jesus Christ in resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses. That's the slain bird. Raised again for our justification. There's the living bird. Jesus Christ went back to heaven with the marks of death upon him because that little bird was flying in the atmosphere with blood on its feathers. Jesus Christ went back to heaven with scars in his hands and feet and sides. The marks of the death that he died for you and me at Calvary. And the priest, after the sacrifice had been made, the bloodshed, he pronounced the leper clean. A man with jubilation ran back into the camp. He embraced his family. Everything's clear now. That was the day of his cleansing, the happiest day on earth. You had that day of cleansing. As all your sins and washed away, it wasn't what the leper did or said. The priest did it all. The priest pronounced them unclean first. Then the priest flew the bird, and he dipped the other bird in that blood and let it go, and then he took the blood and he sprinkled it upon this leper. And after he did all that, the leper was cleansed. The priest said so. He pronounced him clean. What did the leper do? He just stood there and he let the priest do it all. Salvation's not by your works. It's what Jesus did. When I was saved at the age of 19, I just stood before God as if he said, our citizen left. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the sinful state. He walked with Christ for a Calvary, he died for me. When I was saved, he saved. What did that priest or that leper have when he went back into the camp as evidence he was saved? Because as they saw him approaching, they'd say, oh, you've been a leper. No, no, man, not anymore. How are we to know? You know what the priest gave that leper as evidence he was cleansed? A certificate of death. The leper would run back into the camp, waving the certificate. I'm clean! I'm clean! I'm clean! Who said it? The priest. God's representative. Tonight, or this morning, friend, you asked me if I'm saved. Yes. What's my authority? Here's my description. God's word. Not my feelings, not my work. We're born again by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I did nothing. Jesus did it all. I did all the sinning. He did all the saving. And Calvary, he died for me. And it is he who tells me this morning I'm saved. Will you believe? Will you accept? Will you accept him right now? Vile sinners and his friends, you caught Christ in his time. This is the day of your cleansing, 19th of April, 1954. This is the day of your cleansing, or your conversion, true conversion to Jesus Christ. I trust you. Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to thee, we ask thy blessing upon thy glory. Salvation of precious souls and the edification of thy people to thine own glory. Our Savior. Shall we sing in closing just a verse or two of 242? 242.